Brother Martin, take your Bibles tonight if you would and go to the book of Romans again. It's our Bible study time as we have been in the book of Romans, and take it and go to chapter number 15. Tonight I want to take enough time at the end to pray for those that are going on the mission trip, and I hope you will. And I believe the area that we'll be in tonight will lend itself. If you go to verse number 20 of chapter 15, we've studied much of the book, and we're going to just skip a few verses that we kind of hit, but we haven't really taken a lot of time, and I won't take a lot of time to go back tonight just for time's sake. But I want you to begin with me in verse 20, and the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, writing to the church at Rome, and these are people. One of the things I think sometimes we have to be reminded of often, and as people, sometimes we get, and I reminded my home church of this just Sunday, that church is not buildings. It is not a place. It's a group of people. It's a group of saved, baptized believers that are called out of the world and grouped together to complete the Great Commission. And so here, this is the church at Rome, and he writes to them, and he's going to tell them about why he has not been there. He's even going to use the word that he's been hindered from coming to them since he's heard about who they were and what they were doing and how he had a great desire to see them. So look at it with me in verse number 20, and he says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." Paul is saying to them here, he said that his purpose, his job as an evangelist, missionary, preacher here, he's been called of God, and he's been given the gifts to go and plant works, and he's been doing so. We have been in our institute, went through the book of Acts, and really just went over how Paul place to place and just moved from one place. Sometimes he didn't always get to stay as long as he probably desired. Sometimes they pushed him out and ran him out. And he wrote several letters to some of those places to try to get, sometimes he left people behind. But here, he uses the word in verse 20. He says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel." And he uses that idea that he wants to go to places where the gospel has never been. Now, as our group goes out to New Mexico, it's not like the gospel's never been there. But I can tell you, after having been there, it is a place where the gospel is rarely preached in truth. It is a place where it is a hungry place for the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ, but there's a lot of people and a lot of false doctrine out there where the name of Christ is preached, but he's preached Jesus plus something else. It is very, very heavy Mormon country out there in that northeastern corner of where they are. And they have a stronghold not only in the Navajo culture that live in the cities off the reservations, but they have a stronghold in the community and the schools. And they preach, and every kid that goes to the school system out there has to go through a Mormon study before they can even get out of school. And you say, how can that happen in America? We didn't think that they'll let the church. Listen, I'm going to tell you, folks, there's a lot of places that would surprise you that'll let the Bible in if you just go and knock the door and ask for it. And some of them, in places like that, it's not always the truth going into those places. It's falsehood going into those places because they're there and they're pushing and they got there first. And maybe their people run the county seat. But listen, God sits on the throne. God turns the hearts of the king, and he knows the truth, and he knows who's preaching the falsehood. And Paul says, "I strive to preach the gospel not where Christ was named." And part of this mission trip, and even being a mission itself, is to go into parts unknown and places where the gospel desperately needs to be preached and to preach the gospel. It has been said that I think about 90% of all mission effort, I know it would be higher, most people say higher, is done in at least 40% of the world. And so there's so much of the world that is unreached, and people just can't, either they're closed countries, people don't go there, or most mission efforts are concentrated in places that are welcoming of the gospel, not are pushing back against it. If you've read the book of Acts or even studied it, you realize that Paul, when he uses the word strive, he didn't go to easy places. He went to the places the Holy Spirit directed him, and then he put in the work. He strove. He strived in preaching the gospel in those places. And sometimes he was beaten. Sometimes he was stoned. We believe he was stoned to death according to the scripture. And the Lord raised him up to continue the work. Now, I don't know about me. I don't know about you. But I don't know that I would have walked back into the same town that just stoned me. But what a gospel presentation that was, amen? To stumble back on into town after they see you, they stoned you and drug you outside of town for dead, and then to get up. What a wonderful blessing that was to see that, I'm sure, for those that were with him. But Paul here was going to preach the gospel. For all of us in our town, I'll just say this, for those of you that are not going, we need to strive in our town. Even though we have baptized this town with the gospel in a past generation, a new generation has come in, built brand new houses, and set up shop right across the street, down the road from us, and most of those people have come from places where the gospel of Jesus Christ is not named. Many of them speak multiple languages and live right across the street from us, or go through our town or pass by the front of our church. It is amazing to me, since the time I was in Bible college, I could knock doors, and 9 out of 10 doors would tell me, yes, I know that church, and you go on. Now I go out, and 9 out of 10 doors have no idea what our church is, where it is, and listen, they're hungry. They're saying, I've been looking for a church. We're not in a place where we think, man, we've baptized the place with the gospel, and man, we listen, they're hungry all around us, and they're moving in by the droves so that we don't have to go to New Mexico to preach the gospel to other people. But listen, a missionary said, I need your help. I need you to come alongside. And I even feel like our position would be for Paul and would more be a Barnabas. Someone to come along and help the word. Someone to come and go arm in arm and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can reap fruit after we've been there. Maybe not as much. Maybe we won't see as much fruit while we're there as we will after, in the weeks to come, as we go out and invite people to come, and people, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of their heart, and the gospel verses that we read to them, maybe they don't get saved while we're there, but they sink in, and then they want to go see what this gospel of Jesus Christ is really about. And I'm just going to tell you, he says here, I strive. Listen, you know what there's going to go on out there? There's going to be work in the afternoon in the buildings, but that striving is going to be walking those places. Listen, it's not like an apartment complex. It's miles and miles between each place. And boy, it's going to be walking up a long driveway to take the gospel to the door. But it doesn't matter how far the houses are apart. Every one of those houses still need the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if just one person gets saved, it's all worth it. Amen. And so he goes on and he says, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see and they shall have not heard, shall understand. So he goes in, he pretty much is quoting an Old Testament verse, and I won't take a lot of time to go back there and have you turn before time to be able to pray tonight, but he's quoting Old Testament, just trying to let us know that Paul wasn't taking the gospel to the Jew, he's taking it to the Gentile. The people who had not seen the miracles of God and had not heard the name of God preached in the Gentiles, they had only seen God's people be set apart. God's blessing on God's people was supposed to be a witness to the Gentiles, for them to see the light of Jesus Christ, and that the law, boy, it works. Look how elevated that culture is, and how God blesses them and how he protects them. That's what the law should have done. The rest of the world should have wanted what Israel had. But most of the time, Israel wanted what the world had, and they turned to it. We live in a day and age, if we're not careful, we, instead of being the Gentiles who have come and who have seen and who have heard about Jesus Christ, instead of wanting the things that God has given us in his word and the way to walk and the way to be, we want the things that the world has. We want to walk so close to the edge of the world that you can't tell the difference between the Christian and the world. And it ought not be that way. There ought to be a stark difference in the way we talk, the way we walk, where we go, how we spend our money, and what we invest ourselves in. There ought to be a clear separation for the world and the saved person. They ought to see the difference. And when times get tough and they get down on the bottom, folks, I don't know about you, but I read today, Walmart's starting to close stores. If you don't think things are tight, Walmart's closing up. Now, they ain't closing all of them. But even they're tightening their belt because they know that something's coming. Amen. So we ought to be wise. We ought to come to the place where we realize that God has blessed us and He's been so good to us to let us see things that, again, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and what the Jews got to see in God. Listen, I've not seen the Red Sea parted, but God has parted some ways for me. He's opened some doors for me to walk through and to be able to be blessed in this Christian life that I can't, listen, things I can't understand, things I can't always explain, but I know they were God because I trusted Him and walked by faith and followed Him just like they did in the Old Testament. Now, they saw that big Red Sea parted, but listen, there's some big things in my life, and if you were honest and you went back and you saw and you've trusted God, you've seen God do things in your life. And you want to trust Him with it further. He goes on and he says in verse 22, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming unto you." Now, I thought it strange that Paul used the term that he was hindered from coming to the church at Rome because he was doing right. Now, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things that you probably got on there. There are some places that you would like to go. There are people that you would like to go see. Some of them might be your family. Some of them might be some friends from high school. There may be a lot of things that are on your bucket list to do. But number one on your list of things ought to be striving to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And wouldn't it be a great thing when we get home to heaven and say, I really would have liked to spend more time with you. I would have loved and seen to come and see your place where you were. But I was hindered because God had a work for me to do. And I stayed and I strove until He called us home. Listen, I believe that Jesus is close. I really do believe that we're living in the last days. I do believe that even before, there's nothing holding back. And don't think that God is held up waiting to see what happens in the election. Wouldn't it be great if He called us out before we actually saw it? Wouldn't it be great if He called us home? Sometimes we get thinking like God is like waiting like we are to see what happens and then He's going to make His mind up. God made His mind up a long time ago when it was going to be enough. God has the date set. He just ain't willing to tell you and me because we would not always do right. We'd wait till the last minute and procrastinate before we got right or before we would get to it. God's good to us to let us know. I'm telling you right now, there are people that got married sooner than they wanted to because they thought Jesus was coming back. Amen. There are people that they gave their lives to Jesus Christ and set out to do a work because they believed Jesus was coming back. And they just said, I'm going to give it all to Him because He's coming back tomorrow and I'm going to serve Him. Do you know if those people and even the Apostle Paul served like Jesus was coming tomorrow, then how should we serve? They didn't even have all the scripture we have, and they didn't have all the signs that we can see that Jesus' return is imminent. You ever check recently? I just checked today. Do you know there's been an uptick in earthquakes here lately? You realize that that's one of the signs of Jesus' return? Yeah, I mean, there's just some plain things in the scripture that we could just check on a daily basis. Now, most of us don't miss checking Facebook, right? Now, the only thing that did to tell you that Jesus was coming back, that it assured you that we are in the Laodicean church age. Because you had the tendency to fight against 10 of the people that you used to be friends with because you unfriended them today because of what they said on Facebook. Were you encouraged or discouraged by that? Come on. Listen, if there's anything that I want to say and be able to write to somebody whom I love or I've heard is true in the faith, the reason I've not come to see the work of Christ in your place is because I've been striving for the preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I couldn't come because I was too busy telling people about Jesus. Is that our testimony? Or do we just go? Ain't nothing holding me back. Hey, folks, look on. I want you to see. He says, but now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Paul says, but now. It's about time. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I, look at this, trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Look, but now, a lot of but nows here, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. So he stops and he says pretty much here in these few verses that he's desired, he said, now that I've preached the gospel in these parts, there's no more, I don't have anywhere else in this area to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think I'm going to head your way. If it be God's will, I'm going to head your way, and I'm on my way to Spain, into Spain, I'll come on over there to Rome and see you on my way. And that's his plans. Do you know God doesn't always let us have our way? Now, God's going to take him to Rome. He just ain't going the way he thinks he's going to go. All right, he's going to go bound. And instead of him going to see and preach in the church at Rome, the church at Rome is going to have to come and see him while he's in house arrest. Now, he goes on and he says, but there's one thing I got to do. There's one more thing I've got to do that I promised to do before I come out and see you all. And he says in verse 25, but now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Paul was a Jew and had, if he could have chose who he was going to minister to, it would have been to the Jew. That was where his heart was and everything that he was. You know that you don't always get to do what you want to do. This is one of the things I've learned. You know, sometimes people think they're good at things that they're not good at. You know, you ever heard anybody sing that wants to sing, but they ain't good at it? Now, don't laugh. I don't know who you're thinking about right now, okay? All right? But don't shame anybody or get upset with it. I'm blessed that somebody else sings other than me, amen? I know Pastor Carter said all through the years, he said he was always worried God was going to make him lead singing, amen? And he kept him from it, praise the Lord. God can keep his word to us, can't he? But listen, folks, I'm just telling you, sometimes we see something and we think, boy, I'm the one made for this. And then we realize when God, most of the time, it's not until we're in the place and we're serving that we realize that God made us for his will in this place. Sometimes we wouldn't think we fit. Sometimes we don't think that God made me for that. This is where I would best fit. Wouldn't it be best for all of us if we just took God's will and his word on it? And then after a while, after we've served a season or two, then we realize this is exactly where I've always should have been. This is exactly where God placed me. This is exactly where God... You know what happens to a lot of Christians if we're not careful? We'll spend our entire lives what if in God. What if this or what if that? Like God didn't know all the what ifs that you could ever think up, that he already thought through everything that goes through, that Romans 8:28 wasn't already gone by in the book, and that God saw every circumstance and every problem and every curveball and every sin that anybody could ever throw at him, and God used all those things for your good and his glory. God sees it all and worked it all out for his honor and glory. Now you say, was it all God's will? No. There are a lot of people that go outside of God's will, but God can take that and turn it, hook it, make it exactly what he wants to be. I've seen some awful golf played. You know, you ever watch anybody hit a golf ball? And when you see them hit it off the tee, you're like, okay, that was a terrible shot. But when you see them hit shot number two from out of the rough and out of the woods, you didn't think they could hit the green from there, but it all worked out. Do you know there's a lot of us? Listen, if we're not careful, the Apostle Paul here is just letting us know. Here he said, listen, I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. God's going to let me do that. I got to do that first. But what I really desire is to come to you. Do you know there's a lot of times that we jump ahead of God? And we go before he says go, because we want to. We have a desire to. Do you know, it's a tendency for teenagers to put things that are only made for marriage, and they jump ahead of God and put it in their dating life, which ought to be a courting life. I'm just going to tell you, I just want to remind everybody, I think we've got a bad worldly mentality going on, even in churches today. If you're going to be boyfriend and girlfriend, it ought to mean something, and it ought to be headed somewhere. It ought to be, that's why we call it courting. It ought not just be a one-time, one day. A date means a stand. We're going to make a date on the calendar. And whether it goes well or it don't go well. Courting means we've become friends and we want to get married, so we're going to start going and pursuing a relationship together to see if this marriage is really what we want and it's going to work. And that ought to be done in front of your parents. Y'all not do things behind closed doors and not tell people. Your pastor ought to know who you're dating, or courting is what it ought to be. You ought to have all those people in your lives' approval, because they have the best. They want God's best for you. Too many times, we know what people will say. You know what your pastor would say about that person. So you ain't going to dare bring them around here. You know what your parents would say about that person. So you'll keep them away from here. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, there used to be that one of the greatest things on planet Earth was having a wonderful courtship, entering into a wonderful marriage, and all of that could be done right inside the church, right with your family watching all of it. And then everybody rejoice when you get married and you begin your family and become a part of the church and grow the church with your family and your marriage. You say, preacher, how'd you get that out of there? Listen, I'm not going to charge you nothing extra for that. All right, look at verse 25. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. In verse 26, it said, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Now, just trying to get, again, try to tie in where we are as a church and what we're doing. There's been a lot of giving and a lot of work and a lot of raising funds so that we can not only go on this mission trip, but those vans that went out there are going to stay out there for the work of God out there. And the contributions of the saints, listen, we invest in other folks because, again, I'm not going to tell you what the average offering out there is, but Brother Chitty was honest with me and told me what it is, and I'm just going to be honest with you, folks. It ain't even enough to pay Brother Chitty. And they run buses every week of the world. It ain't even enough to run gas into buses. You say, should he just stop because it's not being profitable? I don't think he went out there with the intention that it was ever going to pay for itself. He went out there and lived in a bus with no electricity or running water and lived in that thing for 3 years. He wasn't looking for a paycheck. He was looking to strive to preach the gospel in a place where it had never been preached. Now, he spent 50 years there, but the work needs to go on. Brand new kids and people have moved, and there's brand new people to minister to. It's much different than our place. It's just this place, we can get it in our heart to send contributions. Do you know that even when we send our people out there, that's a contribution to them? Not just giving money, but one of the greatest things, the greatest and most expensive thing that any of us have is our time. To invest in anything, and especially the work of God. And to go and leave and to spend a week somewhere that you say, well, they're just going to go on a sightseeing trip. I got something of news for you, folks. It ain't a place that you really want to go see. It's the work of God, though, in that place. And the contribution that we'll make will not just be one of finances, but one of our time in the place. You don't think that when 60 people from Florida show up and spend a week there, that his people won't take and be encouraged, that people care for them, love them and want to invest their time to see their church grow and to see people saved there. Listen, we could write a check bigger than anything and not go, and it wouldn't have the same impact in the lives of people there. We could even get one of them great big cardboard checks and send it out there. But it still wouldn't have the same impact as the lives of people going out there and investing themselves in the lives of other people there who are striving for the same gospel, the same Jesus. He goes on and he says this. He says, if it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. Look at what he says here. For if the gospel have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Paul says these Gentile churches realize that the ones that kept the Old Testament scripture that God used to bring the Savior of the world into being is the Jews. And now that they are on hard times and in a bad way, if they ministered unto us the spiritual things, then it is our duty. He says at least the Gentile churches that Paul was in saw it to be their duty to minister physical things. Look at what he says. He says, minister carnal things. That means they took up an offering and sent. And this is what I want you to pick up. Sometimes we miss this. I know that right there is a faith promise offering, but the reason we're going on a missions trip is because sometimes, if we're not careful, instead of when we give by faith, sometimes we ain't always given by faith. And what's being given is carnal things. Now, they'll take the carnal things and all the spiritual things you can give them to get the work of God out to other folks. But what the great blessing is to all of us is when we go past giving carnal things. And when our offering isn't just of our 10%, 20%, but when God really says, this is what I'd like to give through you. That's what faith promises. You know, I met some preachers that don't do this because this is scary. They just want to take the offerings and take a piece of what they get and give a percentage of what comes in the whole offering because they're afraid the offerings will go down if they take a faith promise from the people to give to this. Or when they really need something, or the air condition goes out and people are already given to this by faith, that the people aren't going to give to the air condition and other things. Folks, I'm thankful that I became the pastor of the Landmark Baptist Church that already was doing something by faith. Listen, they jumped this hurdle and decided they were going to trust God by faith and give a certain amount. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we ought to be blessed and realize that I do believe that number is a faith number. That isn't a carnal number. And we're going to New Mexico, but that represents a whole lot more than just one missionary in New Mexico. That's a mess of missionaries all around the world that are receiving spiritual things, and hopefully you care not just enough to give, but to know who they are and pray for them. And Paul moves into that, and I want you to see it tonight. He goes in and he says this in verse 28, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. By the way, I want you to see this. Paul, the men had given it. If you want to know what happens with the people that work in the business office, all right, and you want to know what their part of their job is, you know that it says here that Paul says, I've taken. Now, they didn't have any fruit. They had given the money, but the money hadn't gotten to Jerusalem. Paul had the bag. And he says, he pretty much uses the term until it gets to them where they are. But when I give it to them, it will seal unto them this fruit. You know, we don't think about all the things. We just put it in the offering plate and we trust God with it. Absolutely. And I thank God we can in this place trust God, put it in the offering plate, and trust that it gets to our missionary. And I can't tell you how many that have said to me when they come back through our missions conference and other things, say that they can go to the mailbox and they know when the check is going to be there from Landmark Baptist Church. Because it is set and it goes out at the same time, because not only if the people are faithful, the business office in this church and this pastor will be faithful to make sure that it gets out of here and goes where it's supposed to go. And so when they pull the mailbox open, when it's supposed to be there, they can count on it being there. And that is when Think about that. That's something that really stuck out to me, that when that's in that missionary's hands, that's when it seals to you and me. That's when it, what I mean, listen, God, I gave it and I trusted God with it. But listen, we give as a church. Some people miss this, and I want you to get it, because a lot of people like to, I've knowed some people in church, amen. Now, don't mess up with my English. I said exactly what I meant. I knowed some people, all right? That they want to give to the missionary straight out of their own pocket. You miss a great blessing by that. Paul sets a precedent here. Not just a tax break, by the way. Because that number isn't, I can't give that number. By the way, y'all don't pay me that a year. So I couldn't give it if I wanted to. But I could trust God by faith for it, right? So we as a church body, now my part's a piece of that. Your part's a piece of that. And instead of me getting just one piece, my part sealed to me as a church body. Think about this. We're going to get dividends as a church, being a part of that whole, giving together and ministering together. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I know you and me. Listen, I'm going to stand before the righteous judge, and God's going to bless. Listen, I don't know how many souls have been saved through the years because of that. But we are going to know when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we won't always get what we gave. Listen, the amount that we gave. Listen, God says a lot about giving. But I'm trying to be as focused as I can be with you tonight. Dollars at the judgment seat of Christ is not what I feel like the fruit that the Lord's going to be looking for. He's going to be looking for the investment, where we invested those dollars, the people and the souls that were saved, the lives that were changed, and so on through the people, through the decades that came to Christ because of the monies that we gave. Folks, I just want you to be reminded of it, that missions matters, and we're going on this mission trip. And he says that I wanted to seal this fruit to you, verse 29, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren. Do you know what beseech you means? He's begging you. He said a lot to him. But there's one thing he begs him for. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Does he ask for himself? Or whose sake does he ask for? The Lord Jesus' sake. He says, and for the love of the Spirit. I don't know. Listen, that part hit me as well. Because listen, a Spirit-filled Christian that knows that members of their church are going to New Mexico, and they're going to spend a week there, and they've only got so much time to minister, and they've only got such a window before they get off a plane and get back on a plane, and this window is right here. Are you going to pray every day that they're gone and beg God for open doors and open hearts and clear opportunities, the witness, divine appointments from heaven, protection? Listen, I'm just going to tell you, he goes on and he says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus' sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul says, more than anything, what I really want to do is I want to come to you, but I've been hindered by giving the gospel out. At least three times over the last few months, being in different places with Brother Chitty, he has said this: I wish that I had met you and Pastor Carter decades ago. Not because of just what we're going to do, but I mean even the connection and the fellowship. He has said to me multiple times, he said, there's about three churches left in America that if I wanted to, where I would want to go and preach, that are just like it used to be and just like my place. He said, most of the places you go anymore are not places that are just like it used to be. Just always standing for the stuff and what it ought to be. Listen, folks, there's a place out there, and I have been there, I have seen it, and I've preached in the church. If you walked in on a Sunday morning, it wouldn't be much different than the Landmark Baptist Church. Looks like the Landmark Baptist Church. Sounds like the Landmark Baptist Church. Uses the same Bible as the Landmark Baptist Church. And it's places like that, that every dollar that goes there, that's what we want to be investing in around the world. We want to be praying for ministries like that. I beg you tonight, listen, as we go into invitation, I beg you tonight. The Apostle Paul begged these folks at Rome. I begged the Landmark Baptist Church. Let's not send our best people that wanted to go and had their opportunity to do this. We've given. We've striven with them to try to raise the funds and do all that we could. Why would we not bathe this in prayer the whole time they were there? Why would we not take... They set aside time to leave and go. Will we set aside some time while we're still here to just beg God to change things in New Mexico through their investment and their time that they spend there? What a shame it would be if they went unprayed for. What a shame it would be if we made all this great investor contributions and the contribution of their time and we didn't strive with them. Paul uses the term that ye strive together with me. When I read that and I was preparing for to come home and preach, be here, I thought, man, because I'm going to be honest, I really want to go. But everybody can go. Everybody, some for different reasons. But folks, I'm going to tell you, it encouraged my heart that I can strive with them from here. I can do the work of God here and continue. I'm hindered by giving the gospel here. But I can pray for them there. I can strive with them in prayer. I can watch the night while they're there. You say, preacher, you'd give up a night of sleep? If it would see one soul saved in New Mexico, I'd give a night. Listen, I'm asking the church to really tonight, to make your way down to the altar, let's stand to our feet as the musicians come. The invitation is this. Will you strive with me and with those that are going on the mission trip? Would you come and make a commitment, God, for God to make it all that, put it on your mind consistently, and then sacrifice some of your time over the next week from Thursday to Thursday to strive with them as they go. As the musicians play, if you're here tonight, listen, you come. If you're a part of our church, you come and speak to God and ask God what He wants you to do. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, listen, we are striving for the gospel here. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you can be saved tonight. If you can come, I'll meet you in the front and you can be saved, gloriously saved, by believing in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You do what God asks you to do tonight, as Brother Bert sings.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided
to follow
Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Let's sing this next stanza with him.
Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
Let's close in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for allowing us and putting it on the heart of our people, Lord, to not only give, but to go to New Mexico. I thank you for the ones that are already there. Lord, I pray that you prepare all the work. So many things have been taken care of, but now, Lord, I pray that you just raise up Brother James. I know he's not feeling well, Lord. He's had a lot going on with camp and things, Lord. So I just pray that you'd heal and touch his body. Encourage him in the Lord. Lord, I know that there's so much that needs to be worked out to get everybody on the plane and their luggage to where they're going. So, God, I pray that you would just be with every step of getting us there, Lord. But I know that, God, you've already prepared a great work for us to do there. And so, God, I pray that you'd help each one of our people to go with holy boldness, Lord, to be able to preach the gospel to every person that they meet, every person that they're able to reach, Lord. I pray that you'd help them be an encouragement to the church there, Lord. I pray that just being there on Sunday, Lord, and being there and just the encouragement and the shot in the arm that it ought to be, I pray that they have souls saved, Lord. I pray that the buildings and all the things that they touch to work on will be changed, Lord, and people will be excited about the difference that's made because we were there. And Lord, I beg you to bring them home to us safely, Lord, that you get them here and all their luggage, all the things, Lord. And I pray that you would just do this. And we ask it in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.